Hits, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. Telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Find playlists, podcasts, and more at KAXE.org.
When the Format called it quits after touring their 2006 album Dog Problems, singer Nate Roos's mom literally cried because she was worried about her son's future.
I'm not qualified for anything else. So when it ended, it was like, what are you gonna do? You barely graduated high school.
She didn't need to worry. Nate would go on to huge success with his future band Fun and as a songwriter, and eventually the Format would get back together. Their initial plan was to reunite for a tour in March 2020, but the pandemic and wildfires got in the way. Here's band member Sam Means.
I thought for a second we were cursed when we started working on the new record. Like every time we try to get together and do anything with this band, something horrible happens in the world. I'm starting to feel bad about it.
The Format's new album is called Boycott Heaven. Nate and Sam joined me to talk about it, and the band performs live today. I'm Marina Duras. This is World Cafe. And when will it end? 'Cause I see no wrong
if you would attack. For KAXE News, I'm Chelsea Perkins with the Up North Report. U.S. Senator Amy Klobuchar has filed paperwork for her campaign for Minnesota governor Thursday. The move comes weeks after Governor Tim Walz ended his campaign for a third term amid a widening scandal of fraud in state-run social service programs. A person close to the senator tells the Minnesota Reformer it's a preliminary step for any candidate considering a run, and that Klobuchar will make an announcement of her plans in the coming days. 65-year-old Klobuchar has been reelected resoundingly three times since first winning her seat in 2006. In recent weeks, Klobuchar has been an opponent of the federal immigration surge in Minnesota. She typically focuses on broadly popular, often bipartisan legislation, like funding rural broadband infrastructure, banning lead in children's products, and expanding services for victims of human trafficking. The U.S. House of Representatives passed a joint resolution to repeal a 20-year mining ban on Superior National Forest lands near the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness. 8th Congressional District Republican Congressman Pete Stauber, who represents the area, introduced the joint resolution. It nullifies a public land order from 2023 by the Biden administration, which withdrew more than 225,000 acres of national forest lands from mineral and geothermal leasing. The Trump administration says Biden failed to notify Congress of the order and itself provided notice earlier this month. During the floor debate on Wednesday, Stauber described the ban as dangerous and illegal in an area of strategic importance for mining critical minerals like copper, nickel, and cobalt.
This PLO sacrificed thousands of good-paying union jobs that would support families for generations, along with billions of dollars of revenue for our schools and state and federal governments.
Democratic Congresswoman Betty McCollum of Minnesota's 4th District spoke against the measure. She also disagreed that it was illegal, saying Congress was notified at the time of the ban.
The BWCA is a huge reserve of the most pristine water in the United States. So clean, you can directly drink from its lakes or streams. And this water is under threat once again.
Stauber emphasized the measure doesn't authorize any mining projects and that mining would not happen within the Boundary Waters area or established buffers, although the area in question is located within the same Rainy River watershed. It must now be passed by the Senate before it can go to the president's desk. The Nisswa City Council made moves to censure its mayor and remove her committee assignments at its meeting Tuesday. Larissa Donovan has the update on the former chair of the Minnesota Republican Party.
Mayor Jennifer Carnahan made the motion to adopt what she called a hollow resolution.
Using public funds and resources to formalize personal dissatisfaction without substance or authority serves no legitimate purpose for the city. All this document does is basically say, we don't like Jennifer and we don't want her to play in our sandbox anymore.
Carnahan declined to resign during a crowded December meeting, reiterating Tuesday that she was duly elected to her position. Council members have openly questioned her conduct in handling an interaction with a member of the public. Carnahan reportedly attempted to press assault charges twice on the woman after an interaction during the city's holiday lighting event in November, with prosecutors declining to go forward with the case. Carnahan also said she would continue to attend all strategic committee meetings as her schedule allowed, prompting some discussion on the state's open meeting laws. The law states anytime more than two elected officials from the same governing body are present at an event or meeting, the public must be notified in a timely manner with an idea of what will or won't be discussed. Larissa Donovan, KAXE News.
Minnesotans are being encouraged to stay home from work, school, and refrain from shopping to protest federal immigration agents in Minnesota. The general strike is supported by unions, progressive faith leaders, and community activists. Hundreds of businesses are planning to close in the Twin Cities and across the state for ICE Out of Minnesota Day of Truth and Freedom. Community radio station WTIP reports a number of businesses in and near Grand Marais will close. Lady Sippers, non-alcoholic bottle shop in Deer River, also announced on social media it would close in solidarity. That's it for the Up North Report from the KAXE News Desk. I'm Chelsea Perkins, telling the stories of northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report on KAXE is made possible by Woodland Bank, providing customers with personal and business banking solutions, as well as offering Kasasa checking accounts. You can learn more online at woodland.bank.
This is World Cafe. I'm Raina Duras. When The Format announced a few years back that they were planning to reunite after almost two decades, fans were delighted and surprised. A quick scan of social media turns up responses like, "If there were any band I would have bet would have never made another album, these guys are it." And that sort of makes sense. After touring their 2006 album, Dog Problems, The Format announced their split and both members went on to other endeavors. Sam Means launched a successful merch business and worked on film scores and solo music. And Nate Roos became a star as the lead singer of the band Fun with several hits, including this. But now, The Format have returned with a new album. It's called Boycott Heaven, and today, Nate Roos and Sam Means will talk about bringing back The Format, making this album, and why this band is so special to them both. They also perform songs from Boycott Heaven live, beginning with Holy Roller. This is The Format, live for World Cafe.
I faked my death, if it was such a mess, for the people I love. Or soon won't forget me, but I'm staying alive just to see you roll your eyes and sigh. If you got nothing to prove, then tell me why would you do this? Holy roller, don't go wasting all your time praying for a sign. I'm burning out faster than a candle in the night. I'll be gone before sunrise. Tell me again how you lost all your friends. Tell me what did it stop and when will it end? Cause I see no wrong if you would tag along. But don't bother fixing your hair. Got nothing to wear, yeah, yeah. Holy roller,
Live for the World Cafe, The Format with Holy Roller. It's a song from their new album, Boycott Heaven. I'm Rena Duras, joined by The Format's Nate Roos and Sam Means today. Nate and Sam, welcome to the World Cafe.
Hello.
Hello, thank you.
So happy you're here. I'm very excited to talk about the guitars that we just heard on that song in a second, but I want to go back first to a big moment for you guys. It's been about 2 decades since you released The Format's last album. And a few months ago, you played your first kind of reunion show in Phoenix, Arizona, for a sold-out audience of 13,000 people. How did it feel stepping out on stage for that hometown show? Like, what was going through your mind when that happened?
It was just, I mean, for me, it was just like out-of-body, surreal. I mean, it sounds so cheesy, but it was. Like, walking out there and just seeing all those people, just, and no words. It just was crazy.
It was silly. I've been there before. I've done that before. But I remember I literally kept being like, wow, I don't think I even ever did anything like that in fun. Like, it's just, this is crazy. And then our manager, who was our manager in fun, was also just like, well, you did it at Meriwether and you did it at this place. And I was like, you know what? No, this is more important. because like we never had a number one song. We never had anything that would warrant that many people, and it sold out even before the tickets even went up.
So, yeah, it sold out really fast.
Yeah, so like, it was a proud moment, but I'm always terrified to walk out on stage.
Really?
So, yeah, so it doesn't matter.
But I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't enjoy it. I don't enjoy it. That's why I didn't do it.
We were a mess. we were a mess.
Well, you mean emotionally?
Yes.
Yeah. We would constantly check in with each other via text, just to see how the other was doing,
like right before, like, in the run up to the show.
Frantically rehearsing.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were very, we wanted to be very, very prepared. We took it very seriously.
We did.
We did. We still do.
Yes.
We do. We
care. Well, I know the reunion itself was kind of a long time in the making. Like, you were supposed to go out March 2020. Obviously, a bunch of stuff happened at that exact moment.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't really remember it, but I feel like some stuff was going on. There's a pandemic. There was the wildfires. Was there ever a point where you guys were like, maybe we should just forget it?
I mean, yeah. When I thought for a second we were cursed when we started working on the new record, yeah, the wildfires happened then too. And it's like every time we try to get together and do anything
fun. Day 2 in the studio.
Yeah, anytime we try to do anything with this band, something horrible happens in the world. I'm starting to feel bad about it.
Well, it's interesting because the album's called Boycott Heaven. So you're just like, well, wait a second.
I think Brendan O'Brien, our producer, at some point in time was like, next week there'll be locusts.
Yeah, if you, you keep know? Playing.
Yeah, this is like biblical proportion.
When was it that the new album started to emerge? Because you were planning to tour and play some shows. Were they always hand in hand, or did the album
in 2020? You mean?
Yeah.
No. Sam had like kept hitting me up and being like, "I don't want to do." I was like, "Let's do some shows." And Sam was like, "I don't want to do shows unless there's an album attached to it." And I was like, "I don't write music anymore." And he was like, "Come on." He like.
I was like, "I beg to differ."
Like, you got to write music, and I was like, "No, I'm not doing any more music. I don't want to do that, but I'll do the shows." And I'm just really stubborn, so that ended up working. And then somehow, like, those shows got canceled. For whatever reason, I was very relieved that those shows got canceled. Cut to a few years later, and I was bored, and I started writing songs, so.
And did you know that were going to be a Format record at that point?
I didn't know what they were. I just taught myself how to play guitar. And as I had started to finish these outlines of songs, I was like, oh, this would be an awesome Format album, because so much of like big heavy guitars, like that's when we met. That's what it was.
What you were listening to, do you mean?
Yeah, like when we were like in the, you know, children of the 90s, like that's what we just love. I mean, I still think that good alternative music to me is what I'd rather listen to than anything.
Why did you decide to pick up the guitar finally? Because you've been making music for a long time. Why did you want to play guitar all of a sudden?
Because I'd always just loved the instrument. You know, but when I write songs, I just write songs in my head. And then I'll, like, you know, sing it to people. And a lot of times I'll, like, write parts, you know, I'll sing parts that are supposed to happen and stuff like that. I just loved the guitar. I wanted to hear, like, distortion.
We're going to hear you perform another song live now. Could you tell us about Shot in the Dark?
Shot in the Dark was another early one that I learned because I think it's only two chords. And I was, like, before I even bought, like, a proper amplifier, but I just started strumming it at one point. And I was like, oh, this sounds like a Rolling Stones song or something. Lyrically, I don't know. I was just kind of reminiscing. I guess I was reminiscing a little bit about what we used to do and how my mom was so depressed when it had ended.
Really? Okay, I've been wondering what that line is about because that's sort of what I kind of thought maybe this song was about, but I couldn't place what that line would have meant.
Yeah.
She was really upset.
Oh, because I'm not qualified for anything else. So so when it ended, it was like, what are you going to do? Like, what are you going to do? You barely graduated high school.
Yeah, she called me at one point and I was like, he's going to keep doing this. He's very good at this. He's going to keep doing it. He'll be fine.
Yeah, so the first verse is about that. The second verse is just about having met my wife. And yeah, I'm not going to cry, so it's fine.
Let's just listen to it. Then we can all cry together. This is Shot in the Dark, live for World Cafe. It's The Format.
And piece ourselves back together like a work of art. Oh, mom was a mess, she took it way too hard. I left it tucked in the drawer just like a birthday card. Oh, how would I know when these days just come and go? We'll be right back.
Live for the World Cafe, The Format, playing Shot in the Dark, song from their new album, Boycott Heaven. I'm Raina Duras, chatting with Nate and Sam today on The World Cafe. We're going to talk more about the new album in a minute, but I do want to talk about what you guys have both been up to since the last Format album 20 years ago. Nate?
Yes.
You were in the band Fun.
Yep.
You released a solo album in 2015. You've done a lot of songwriting for other people like Pink and Maroon 5 and Keith Urban. What did you learn about yourself as a songwriter by working on songs for other artists?
That I hate it.
Really?
Oh, it's awful. It's the worst situation. I just caught a moment in time. I do believe that so much is predicated on luck, and I do believe that so much of my success is predicated on luck and being in the right place at the right time. But there was a probably 1 or 2 year period where I just, whatever I did, I just couldn't miss.
Yeah.
And the rewards are very nice when that happens. So I was like, okay, I'm going to keep doing this. And then it was like, but it's just miserable. You sit in a room with people, and I'm a lyric guy. I like to like go away to my room for like a couple of weeks and not come out until I've written like lyrics. And you sit there with these people and you're like, what should this song be about? And I was like, breaking up. And it's like, well, I don't know your experience. Like it's just very weird and seedy.
How does it compare to, you know, working with Sam on a song?
Oh, I'm actually doing it now. So I seriously had to stop. I was like, you know, there came a point where enough was enough. I started taking my name off of songs mm-hmm. and using a fake name because it just felt like I didn't feel like a creative person. I just felt like someone who had the answers.
It's probably hard to be sincere if you're trying to put emotions into something on behalf of somebody else.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Put your name on it. I would imagine would be tough.
Yeah. That's not what I love about music.
Yeah.
It's some people love it. I do not. I hate it.
Well, you've also featured, you've been featured singing on songs for other artists. And this is very special because it's probably the only time this has ever happened or will ever happen on this show. You're featured on a song with me.
And, that's right. That's right.
It's called All the Bubbles in the World.
Yep.
We recorded it for Pixar's Sodas, a film audio play by the podcast Episode One. I can't believe I'm playing this right now, but it sounds like this.
What are you awesome. Doing?
How can a humble soda ever live her dream? All the bubbles in the world, all the boys and all the girls. The power of soda is the power of friends in a carbonated dream where fun never ends. I used to wonder, how does it all make sense?
All the bubbles in the world. That is me, Raina Duras, with Nate Roos of The Format, who's here with me today, along with Sam Means of The Format. Nate, would you say that working on that song was the highlight of your career so far?
I know that the people who wrote the song are going to want me to say that it was a highlight. Would you say that being a voice actor in Bubbles was a highlight of your career?
It was absolutely the greatest thing I've ever done.
See, that's what I'm saying. We are both somehow, like, bound to say that.
Yeah, we have to say it. Nothing bad will happen if we don't say it. I promise.
Someone said, how do you know Raina? And I said, it's just some weird niche. Like, I don't want to explain it.
Well, and this is, okay. So let me just quickly say, like, you have done some songs for podcasts that are funny, and you are, you host a podcast as well.
Not so much these days, but.
You did for a while.
Yes.
Called Claincast. What is it that drew you into that world? I mean, we met on Twitter in this sort of like group of people who do this stuff. What do you enjoy about that universe?
I love those people. It's generally the type of people that they are. I'm very happy to be back. This is a good example. I'm very happy to be back in The Format because they're just like-minded people. They're just normal people. I think they believe in all the right things or all the things that I want to believe in. And so once I had a kid, you know, because there was probably some dark years after The Format where I was living much more selfishly. And not that, I mean, I write songs selfishly, but... Once I met my wife and had a kid and you start learning that it's not about you, I somehow got turned on to, I think, some of the right podcasts and really learned a lot about how to treat people. Mm. And it changed my life. Like, I think in all the right ways. I think that in that world, there are like small pockets. I guess it's on Twitter. And there's these other niche podcasts, and there's really funny people that don't have some sort of mainstream outlet. I think we probably think the same people are just beyond hilarious. And I still can't get over them. And I'm happy that one day I just signed on and I became friends with them. And now I get to sit here with you. It's just, it's awesome.
It is awesome. I'm talking to Nate Roos and Sam Means of The Format today. After the break, you'll hear what Sam has been up to in the 20 years since The Format put out their last album. That's next on World Cafe. Welcome back to World Cafe. I'm Raina Duris. The Format have just released a new album called Boycott Heaven. It's their first full length in two decades, and I'm talking to The Format's Nate Roos and Sam Means.
Sam, during the time between the last Format album and this one, you also released music solo.
I did, a little bit, yeah.
And you did some film scoring.
I did.
And you run a very successful merch business.
I do.
Called Hello Merch.
Yes.
And I'm curious about that because as a musician, who would have had to like buy merch for your band. What did you want to make sure that you were doing differently? Like what made a good...
Well, that's kind of how it started. We were having problems with merch, and that was one of our, like after we got dropped, we were very much self-funding everything, and merch was such a big part of that, especially in those days. So we were having problems with people that we were using. So we ended up just getting a couple friends together and sort of just doing it ourselves like we had been doing everything else at that point. There were not a lot of independent merch companies at that point. There were a few, but I don't know. It just seemed to be a pretty widespread problem that was easy to fix.
It feels like even more important now.
Yeah, it's actually sort of a bummer because I've seen a lot of merch companies kind of rise up over the last, it'll be 18 years in April that I've been doing that. And many of them have gone away, you know? So just when you kind of think it's getting better, it still kind of sucks out there. So that's why I still do it. I mean, I love doing it. I love just helping as many bands as we can help. And we try to be super affordable and make sure we're reliable and bands are getting paid. That's the most important part.
Yeah. You also both became parents.
Yes.
Since the last Format record. And Sam, I want to ask both of you this question, but Sam, I'll start with you. How has being a dad changed you creatively?
Creatively?
Personally,
a lot.
Too.
But. Well, it really did change me a lot. I feel like in a lot of ways, it, especially kind of coming back into this, you know, and Nate just shared a similar sentiment of just kind of learning how to be a different kind of person in a lot of ways. And collaboration is one for sure. And that was one, my daughter's very creative. She's 16 now, she's turned 16. And she's very creative. And from, you know, the minute she could do anything, she was drawing, we were playing games, we were writing songs, we were doing everything, you know, like just all across the board. And as a parent, you're wanting to just be like, no, this is not how you do it. This is how you, you know, kind of teach her, I guess. But then at a certain point I realized like, I don't have to teach you how to do this. Like you have that, this is something that you have in you and I just need to help you find it within you. And that's, I guess, a perfect way to think about writing songs and working with adults as well is like, you're just really trying to help whoever you're working with find the idea that's in their head and, or find the idea that's just out in the universe to be grabbed. You know, a lot of people explain it like that. Like you're just sort of reaching out and grabbing something. It's given to you.
Nate?
What?
How did it change you creatively?
He disagrees.
How did it change me creatively? Again, I just think that I view things just a lot less internally. Mm-hmm. And it's made me just see things externally. And it's also maybe not take it so seriously because even now we're starting a week-long tour. And I love to have my space, not for any sort of dramatic reasons, because it's just nice to have space occasionally, especially when you have three kids.
And when you're old.
However, I miss them so badly, and it's only been day probably four or so. I'm counting the days until we see them again, and I'm just trying to not think about it too much, even though my wife is constantly texting me about our water heater being out. And I'm like, lady, I can't do this right now.
I'm on the road.
I have to record this song. I'm ready to get back to the stress and finally figure out what's wrong with our water heater.
Yeah.
I'm dying to know how that's going to pan out personally.
And we need the updates. Please update the show.
Okay, that's fine. I'll do a call in and I'll let everybody know.
My guests today are Nate and Sam of The Format. Their new album is called Boycott Heaven. There's a song on Boycott Heaven called Right Where I Belong. You don't sing about water heaters in this, but you do sing about, you sing about love, about brushing teeth and tying shoes. It's kind of like an ode to domestic bliss.
Yeah.
Could you tell us about this song?
I it was just a song I'd written for my wife. Her name's Charlotte, but her middle name is Julia, and Julia sounded better phonetically speaking. I don't know why I want to cry all the time. I think I think you hit like 42, and you just want to cry about everything. But I owe her the world. And so the least I can do is give her a song.
This is Right Where I Belong, live from The Format on World Cafe.
Say much, 'cause what's left to prove? If I'm ever getting old, then I'm getting old with you too. So come on, hold me like a thief in the night, and don't let go me, girl. I'm not your type, but you have shown me how to smile. So if I'm ever gonna die, we never gonna die. It took my whole life to build this home. All the love lost and nights spent on my own. I traded my voice in shame for a good can of pain. It took my whole life to build this home, but now I'm right where you do. 'Cause now I'm waking up sober, brushing teeth, tying shoes. And I don't say it enough, love, the way I feel for you. The words are hard enough to write. Now that I found you, I don't even try. My voice in shame for a good can of pain. It took my whole life to build this home, but now I'm right where I belong. The scars aren't showing up in life, it's 'cause you make the time to take away the bruise. I thought we'd end it too, but now they're all growing just like vines. Funny, I never meant to mean that much to you. Okay, well, that's untrue. Ooh. took my whole life to build this home. All the love lost and nights spent on my own. I traded my voice in shame for a good can of pain. It took my whole life to build this home, but now I'm right where I drew ya. When you move, New York brake lights shine your shoes. We don't say much, 'cause what's left to prove?
Right Where I Belong, performed by The Format. Nate and Sam of The Format are here today on World Cafe. I'm Raina Duris. Their new album is Boycott Heaven. Nate, and I'm sorry that Twitter is coming up so much here, but I remember at one point your Twitter bio read, "I'm retired, leave me alone." And I think about that a lot because I thought there was something that I really respected and I liked the honesty and I found it refreshing. You have these huge hits with Fun. You kind of take a step away from everything at a time when I feel like a lot of people would feel like they have to like take advantage of this moment. What was your thinking behind that decision? Have you always been good at just like saying no?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm great. And it only got better the more, I guess, success I was able to achieve. That was having a bunch of like hit songs or all that stuff. That was never the end goal. Mm-hmm. You know, the end goal was always, you hope that you play like a 3,000 seat venue for the rest of your life, you know, a theater or whatever, and you have enough money to, like just make rent and, or, you know, or maybe buy a house and do those type of things. And that's your full-time job. And that sounded amazing to me. Yeah. Like that was the life. And so to get all of that and more, it was just like, okay, this is great. But if I'm not enjoying it, I don't need to do this. I'm not driven by, I'm a weird dude. I only want to do what I want to do. And so if I'm not feeling it, I don't care. I remember there was like a offer to tour from one of those big touring companies to get like the next Format tour. And it was a kajillion dollars. And I just remember just being like, okay, I don't care. Like, I don't care. Like yeah. Sometimes I'll think back when it's time to change the water heater, you know, that's when I'm like, oh God, I should have just stuck it out another 6 months. But no, I could not be happier with where my life has ended up. I'm so lucky in every way, shape, and form.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like even as The Format, like you guys have always been sort of smirking at the industry in a way. I mean, the name of the band, The Format, is kind of a dig at like the music industry's like need to make every song or every band a format. Naming your first single, The First Single, and your own label being The Vanity Label. I mean, it feels like at every step,
it's a lack of creativity.
Self-aware.
It's like, I don't think we're into names. I don't think we're like, I think it's like, I hate naming songs. And so we just caught a wave of just naming things what they were at face value. And one of those happened to be our band name.
Yeah. It's cool how you kind of accidentally stumble into things like that, though you realize like how thematic you're being without really trying, and then it just becomes weirdly an important part of your history.
Yeah. My guests are Nate and Sam from The Format. We're going to hear one more song today. We're going to hear you play the song Boycott Heaven live. The phrase Holy Roller shows up a few times on this album. It's in the first song we heard you play called Holy Roller. It's also in the opening track, No Gold at the Top. And it's in this song. What was it about the term Holy Roller that captured your imagination? Why did you keep coming back to that?
More than anything, it's a phrase. But one time I heard a podcast about the Holy Roller situation, like the movement. I think it was it was really just a mass hysteria like type of situation from the early 1920s. And I just always loved, again, the words together. They sing. It's just really fun to sing those words. And I don't, I don't know. I think I just found a way to link it through the album. I think I've invented this person that I really don't, I don't even think I know. But I can see who they are, like, very, very clearly, but I do not know them. Yeah. And I think a lot of times I'm like somehow writing about this person that I was supposed to meet or like have yet to meet.
Yeah. Before we hear the song Boycott Heaven, is there anything else you'd like to tell us about it?
This one actually is cool because I flew out to Phoenix to work with Sam, which I'd always be worried if we, like, I wouldn't tell my parents. I didn't want to tell them. My parents live in Phoenix. I wouldn't even, like, tell them.
Why?
Because we had limited time. We had, you know.
They'd want to hang out.
It's not
even
that.
Or would they be excited that this was happening?
Yeah, they would know about it, and then they would ask questions.
Oh, yeah, because you hadn't even told them that we were working on it, huh?
No, I told them nothing. But then I'd be worried, like, that we'd run into, like, I'd run into someone, and they'd be like, why are you here? But, I was in Phoenix and I had a song and Sam was like, oh, well, what about this bridge? And he had a song and he was singing it. He'd sent it. And I was like, that's not a bridge. This is a whole new song. And just give me a couple hours. I was in my hotel room. I was like, give me a couple hours. I was so energized by how good this song sounded. I said, just give me a couple hours and I'll just finish this thing off. And weirdly, yeah, it was one of those things where I was so inspired to do it. And yeah, that first verse of Boycott Heaven, that was a Sam demo that I was like, I'm taking this and I'm running with it.
Yeah. It sounds so cool. Like, the guitars sound great in it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks. This is Boycott Heaven. It's The Format live on World Cafe.
let it go.
The Format performing Boycott Heaven, the title track to their new album. I've been hanging out with Nate Roos and Sam Means of The Format today. Thank you guys so much. It's been so great having you here.
Thanks, Raina.
Thank you. This is awesome.
I'm Raina Duras, back in a moment with more World Cafe.
Before the break, you heard a session with The Format. If you want to see those live performances and our interview, you can find it at worldcafe.org and on our YouTube page. It's youtube.com/worldcafe. That session and many more are up there for you. And if you would like to know more about Pixar Sodas, the podcast audio play Nate and I were featured on together, you can find that on my social media. I'll post it. It's at rahrahraina, R-A-H-R-A-H-R-A-I-N-A. Here's an artist who was on the show just last week. It's C-Matt. When a Good Man Cries.
I waited for love with a cricket bat. It flies. You know what I'm like. You don't deserve it. Veruca's salt, her just desserts. She kept it out to show the world, and now it's sad like a mother. What do you do when a good man cries? And you're the one to keep him up at night.
Sarah McLachlan, Into the Fire, taking you out of this hour of World Cafe. Thanks again to Nate and Sam and the format for being on the show today. And thank you to World Cafe senior producer Kimberly Junod for her work on that session. Also, big thank you to the affiliate stations all across the country who bring this show to you. We produce it at WXPN at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. I'm Raina Duras. Thanks for listening to World Cafe from NPR.
World Cafe is supported by Imaginable Futures, funding programs in the U.S. with the goal of ensuring young children and their parents get the education they need to thrive. Learn more at ImaginableFutures.com. And by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. RWJF is a national philanthropy working toward a future where health is no longer a privilege, but a right. Learn more at RWJF.org.
Another hour ahead of the World Cafe. This is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. We are telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Check out our playlist, podcasts, and more at KAXE.org.
With Area Voices, we're trying to discover what makes an artist, what drives them, what inspires them, and most importantly, why it's important to keep creating.
Theater, in particular, is an art form that sort of asks for people to test the borders and find out what people are excited about and what people are interested in, but also to challenge audience members.
I think every artist wants to show a feeling of some sort. I think, you know, a lot of people